Welcome, everybody, to Sleepless Nights, a podcast where I and my partner read short but creepy stories. Today, we have two short stories from r/short scary stories. Let us begin. A perfect match. I always knew I was adopted. My adoptive parents never let me forget I wasn't theirs. I used to dream that my real parents were different. That they had loved me, wanted me, and somehow lost me. That they would find me eventually. Then they did. They cried when they saw me. Held my hands like they never wanted to let go. My mother kept soothing my hair, whispering through sobs about how I looked like her. My father kept saying how long they had searched. I believed them. I wanted to. They told me I had a little brother. His name was Alexander. And he was the sweetest kid I'd ever met. Even though he was small and fragile, he followed me everywhere. His small hand always slipping into mine. Em, he called me. My first nickname. My parents were kind too. Overly attentive even. They insisted I move in with them, showered me with gifts, cooked elaborate meals just for me. But there were rules. No alcohol, no coffee, no soda. When I joked about celebrating a reunion with a drink, my mother's expression turned cold so fast it startled me. Alcohol damages the kidney, she says, voice clip. It's not good for you. No junk food, no processed foods. Everything I ate had to be fresh, steamed, herbal. At first I thought it was just their way of making up for lost time. Hovering. Being protective. Then there were the checkups. I had never been to a doctor so often in my life. Blood tests. Full body examinations. My parents insisted it was just to make sure I was healthy. "We're just worried," my mother said, brushing my hair behind my ear. I told myself it was love. One night, I woke up thirsty. The house was silent as I padded to the kitchen. Then I heard voices, low, urgent, murmurs drifting from my parents' room. I moved closer, pressing myself against the door. "Match perfectly," my father was saying. A long pause. Then my mother spoke, voice tight. "And the surgery?" "The doctors are ready. Alex can't wait much longer." A heavy silence settled between them. My heart pounded in my chest. Then my mother whispered, "She'll be asleep. She won't feel a thing." The glass slipped from my fingers, shattering against the tile. The voices stopped. I ran. I don't remember how I made it back to my room, but I slammed the door shut, locking it just as footsteps pounded down the hall. "Sweetheart," my father called through the wood. Calm, gentle. "Did you hear something?" I backed away, my breath coming too fast. The doorknob rattled. "Open the door," my mother urged. "I need to see you to make sure you're okay." Behind them, I heard Alex's small voice, confused, sleepy. "Em?" Tears burned my eyes. I had dreamed of being found, of having a family that loved me. But they hadn't found me to bring me home. They had found me to keep him alive.
I have a beautiful family. I married James in the dead of winter, when the trees stood silent and the sky felt too close. He came from the North Woods, farther than anyone should have been living. But he spoke Ojibwe, like my grandfather, knew the old songs, and had eyes that looked like thawing ice. I was 27 and lonely. I didn't ask questions. At first, he was kind, gentle, quiet like snowfall. But he never ate at powwows. Said his stomach couldn't take bannock or wild rice. I figured it was trauma, like so many of us carry. Then the twins came. They were born in silence. No crying, no breath. I held them, skin to skin, whispering to them until they stirred. Their eyes opened too soon. They didn't blink. We named them Ashi and Mino. They grew fast, crawling before 3 months, walking by 6 months. Their bones popped too loud when they moved, like branches snapping. Their teeth came in all at once, sharp and uneven. Mino bit through his crib rails as she climbed the walls at night and stared out the windows, growling low under her breath. James was proud, called them strong. I started sleeping with a knife under my pillow. At first, I thought I was going crazy. The smell of meat rotting in the house, though I scrubbed everything clean. The long scratches on the door frames, my own hunger, gnawing deep, unnatural, cold, like something inside me was starving even when I ate. One night, James brought home a deer, said he hid it on the road, but it looked scavenged, its belly already spilt. He dragged it like it weighed nothing. The kids shrieked with joy and tore into it raw, their small hands red up to the elbows. That night, I ran, but I didn't get far. Snow swallowed my legs, and James found me by the lake, barefoot and shaking. "Don't fight it," he whispered. His mouth opened too wide, teeth like splinters, gums black. "You're already a part of us." I looked down and saw myself. Skin stretched thin over bone, veins dark and pulsing, ribs sharp as antlers jolting through my skin. My fingers were longer than they should have been, nails cracked and yellowed. I opened my mouth to scream and heard a growl instead. Now I don't leave the house. The hunger is worse. I wait until dark, then I follow the scent. Someone's dog, a deer, once a man walking home from the bar. I barely remember it, just the crunch, the heat, the sound of his voice turning wet. The kids sleep curled by the wood stove. James sings old songs in a voice that's not quite human. I join in sometimes. It helps. I used to be afraid. Now I just keep the windows closed and the fire low. The woods are always watching, and sometimes when I look in the mirror, I see something moving just behind my eyes. But we're still a family, and that's the most important thing, right?